The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
It may very well be the salvation of American Christianity, how we deal with this issue.
Next, Samuel Rodriguez, the president of the National Hispanic Leadership Conference.
This is a Christ-centered, Bible-based, Spirit-empowered community. The Hispanic community loves Jesus. I believe we're about to see the greatest move of God America has ever experienced.
The voice for Hispanic Christianity in America. Next.
Thank you. Thank all of you. It is really a privilege to come and share this time with you. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I are thrilled to have Sammy Rodriguez with us. I think most of you know the book Indivisible is really a call to prayer and to action to help restore faith, family, and freedom before it's too late. It's not too late. This is a book filled with hope. And one of the things we talk about in Indivisible, which is a major problem, is the issue of immigration and how we're going to deal with it. Sammy, I want you to know that I appreciate you and your leadership, and you and I have had some tremendous time seeking the Lord with a lot of leaders. May I ask you this? When you came even here and when you heard about other prayer meetings and you saw all these different denominational leaders coming together, groups that had been basically taught to avoid one another.
Right.
And including Catholics coming with Protestants and all of us coming together before the Lord. Did you find the gathering and the presence of God there to be rather, let's say, surprised that they would come together and that the manifestation of the Spirit of God would be so great on such a diverse group?
The spirit of Acts chapter 2 permeated the room. It's coming together in one accord, and in unity precedes Pentecost in a powerful outpouring to speak the language of those around us, to see the body of Christ coming together, every denomination, every single segment, coalescing around biblical truth. I think that we stand at the precipice of the greatest awakening we have ever experienced. I'm not a pessimist. I believe we're about to see the greatest move of God America has ever experienced.
Well, and that is my hope. You know, the book Indivisible is a book of hope. I think the Bible is a book of hope. I think Christ in us is the hope of glory. His glory, His manifest presence on our lives in the here and now, and He's coming for a church that is in that glory. I think a church living in glory will make a kingdom imprint on the culture. We got a very serious problem. Would you agree with the immigration violations, all of the illegals, the tension that prevails not only in Congress, but throughout the land? It seems to me, Sammy, that we can't even have a normal conversation to address the plight of the people who are sort of caught in this, the tension of this division, dissension, and hostility and animosity. I mean, it just permeates the whole country to where you think, can we even address the situation in a meaningful, realistic way?
But this conversation is not a futile conversation. It may very well bring about, now hear me now, without being presumptuous or creating some sort of hyperbole as it pertains to rhetoric, it may very well be the salvation of American Christianity, how we deal with this issue. Let me lay it out a bit. 50 million Hispanics in America, 50 million Hispanics. Out of the 50 million Hispanics, 65 to 69% identify themselves as Roman Catholic. 20% to 24% born again or evangelical. Out of the 69%, let's say, Roman Catholic, 54% identify themselves as Catholic charismatic. The majority of Protestants are evangelical slash charismatic. It is the only ethnicity in America, the only ethnicity where the majority identify themselves as Spirit empowered. This is a Christ-centered, Bible-based, Spirit-empowered community. The Hispanic community loves Jesus. It is a Christ-centered community. So if we would have any immigrant group coming to America, would we not prefer those that follow the values of our founding fathers and adhere to our Judeo-Christian value system? So first and foremost, it's a prophetic community. Now, I understand the issue of illegality. Many came in without proper documentation. They came in here illegally. But I believe that the very prophetic purpose of the community lies embedded in the term Hispanic. Let me break this down for you. Two syllables. First, His, capital H. Second, panic. It's the panic part that everyone has focused on. And that's the part that everyone coalesces around. But it's Hispanic. We're not, this community is not here to teach America salsa, merengue, or cha-cha-cha. The community is not here to increase anyone's dividend portfolio who has invested wisely or unwisely in Taco Bell. We're not here to prompt anyone to press one for English or two for Spanish. I believe that we are here to bring panic to the kingdom of darkness in the sovereign name of Jesus Christ.
You know, I grew up where I was 10% white. There was some black, and they were mostly Hispanic. And I grew up poor. Mm-hmm. I grew up without a father. But I grew up looking at people as having value.
Sure.
And potential. And it always puzzled me, even when I didn't know Christ, and I was just a kid that wanted hope and opportunity, and I looked out in America and saw possibility. I saw the same thing every Hispanic that came across the river or came from Central America and somehow got into our country, every one of them that came, they saw hope and possibilities, right?
Absolutely.
That's how they were coming. It's wrong that they came illegally.
Absolutely.
It's wrong that they didn't respect our laws.
Agreed.
It's wrong they didn't honor the laws. But at the same time, the people that not only enabled them to come, not only employed them when they came,
that's right,
but encouraged them, they too were violating the law.
Absolutely.
Why is it that we put the whole load on the Hispanic who looked for hope and came and we enabled and we also violated the law? Here's the thing that I really believe is critically important. I'm just looking at it as someone who goes all over the world to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, as the song says, to reach out and to look at suffering and say we can alleviate the suffering with love and compassion. We happen to have, watching all over the world, I don't care if you're down under, I don't care if you're in the UK or up above us in Canada, or you're down in South America or right here in the United States, the people watching this program, they say, we feel the heart of God for the suffering. We believe God is a God of love.
He is.
We believe in charity, which is not forced giving, take and distribute. We believe in pouring love out on people. That's what our viewers do. Our viewers believe in prayer. Now, here's the deal. I believe that when we see a problem like we have right now, we need to come to the table of reason. We need to look at the problem and address it with the wisdom that comes from above, with the compassion that flows, and come to some sound conclusions, because we're not going to deport all the people in here because we couldn't identify them in the first place.
We can't afford it. We don't have the resources. The answer to the immigration issue lies embedded in the cross. Let me break this down for you. The cross is both vertical and horizontal.
You mean it doesn't lie in Congress?
No, because the donkey and the elephant have failed.
That's the hat.
I believe the Christian community should rise up, and instead of just being married to the agenda of the donkey or the elephant, we should be married exclusively to the agenda of the lamb. That's the agenda. That's our agenda.
Yeah.
James Betty, I believe that in the 21st century, the next great movement will not be Occupy Wall Street or the Tea Party. It will be a Christ-centered, Bible-based righteousness and justice movement.
That's what I believe.
That will transform this nation. But with that, it's the cross, the moral imperative. What drives us to do what we do is the cross. The cross is both vertical and horizontal. It's not just vertical or horizontal. It's both vertical and horizontal. It's both righteousness and justice. It's both sanctification and service, covenant and community. John 3:16 and Matthew 25. It's ethos and pathos. It's Billy Graham and Martin Luther King Jr. It's the New Jerusalem and Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. It's both and.
Yes.
And for too long, Christians have either functioned vertically or some in certain communities on horizontal issues. And we need to see a church rise up and say the cross is both vertical and horizontal. And the point of convergence, the nexus, the centerpiece, the strongest point, is where the vertical and the horizontal intersect. That's where orthodoxy meets orthoproxy. That's where the fishes meet the bread. That's righteousness and justice. That's what you do with this program. Immigration solution, it's Leviticus 19 and Romans 13. It's treat the stranger amongst you as one of your own, because you were once an immigrant in Egypt. Mm-hmm. With respect the rule of law. I think there's a Christian answer to the immigration, to this immigration crisis in America. I propose the following. I propose we look at those that are currently here. First of all, as Christians, we should be opposed to illegal immigration. How about that?
Absolutely.
We are a sovereign nation. There is a de facto narco-trafficking war in northern Mexico. The vestiges and the ramifications of that war are beginning to impact our southern border states. We need to stop all illegal immigration. On multiple, even from a humanitarian standpoint.
Absolutely.
Many of the women that try to come over here illegally end up being raped, violated. Mm-hmm. At young ages, documentation, 7, 8, 9 years of age. Mm-hmm. That's morally reprehensible.
Absolutely.
So we need to stop illegal immigration, not just to protect the sovereignty of our nation, but even to protect those people that are trying to come over.
Absolutely.
And are exploited by these coyotes. But in stopping illegal, by the way, we could stop it if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. We have, if we can read the license plate of a car in Faisalabad, you're telling me we can't stop 25 Mexicans with backpack crossing the Rio Grande and we can't identify them? You've got to be kidding me.
I agree with you.
Of course we can.
Yeah. Yep.
The reason we don't is because we don't want to.
You got it.
It's all about resource allocation. We have other priorities. We need to stop illegal immigration. That we have to do. But then we have to look at those that are currently here. Let's deport the bad guys. Let's identify those that came here to engage in nefarious activity. The gangbanger, the drug trafficker, those that came to do our communities harm, we don't want them here. Let's deport them immediately. Then let's look at the 98.6.7, the rest of the community. These wonderful, wonderful, God-fearing, family-loving, faith-filled, freedom-loving individuals that came here to give their children a better day. Someone just reminded me, matter of fact, your son just reminded me, that the economic disparity between the United States and Mexico is the greatest disparity between two nations that share a border. The level of poverty in Mexico is egregious. If I was on the other side, and I am 1 mile away from my daughter suffering great harm or from feeding my family, I'm gonna be honest with you, there's a good possibility I may jump the Rio Grande likewise, mm-hmm. just for the sake of my children. I'm being transparent and being real. Write all the hate emails you want. If I can save my family right there, I'm not advocating it, but I would give that a second thought. We need to do something better. We need to identify the families that have come here for the betterment of their communities and their corresponding families, and let's integrate them. Let's provide a pathway to integration. If you're here and you're self-sustaining, you're not gonna depend on welfare or government subsidies, but you're already working. You're already paying, many of them already pay taxes and contribute.
You're providing a service.
You're providing a service. Let's do this. Let's look at them and say, we're not gonna give you amnesty. You're gonna go to the back of the line. First thing you're gonna do, you're gonna admit guilt. We're gonna make you pay a fine. You're gonna learn English. English is the language of our nation. You're gonna learn English. And by the way, you're gonna understand what are the values that make us great as Americans. Go to the back of the line. You're not gonna cut in front of those that did it the right way. You're gonna go to the back of the line. You go through that process. We're gonna get you a guest worker program so you continue to work here legally.
But here's the way, it may take
5, 10 years, but at the end of the day, when they embrace that citizenship, you're gonna have someone who says, God bless America.
Let me interject something here that I believe really came to me in prayer. In order to do this, you've gotta involve the employer, the person that is enabling. If they were guilty of getting different papers, false papers, come to the forefront. If they question or wonder if the person is legal, get involved. If the individual has to pay some kind of a fine, whatever is right, the employer ought to step up to say, I so value this high-quality worker who has provided a service, who's been dedicated and faithful, who obviously loves his family. He's proved that he's a good worker and could potentially be a good citizen. He goes to the back of the line, but I also will step up and I will pay the fine and I will do it. Call it charity, call it love, call it a penalty. I don't care what. I want to be involved because I had something to do with feeding this problem and enabling the people to violate our laws while I violated them. Let's. You know what the Bible talks about? Confessing our sins and being blessed.
Right.
Admitting we did wrong. Why can't Americans admit we failed, we helped feed the system, and let's all come to the table and solve the problem? Because God loves these people who come here to get help. I believe you got to involve the people that's been part of the enabling process.
100% agreed. And right now, the burden of responsibility is falling exclusively on the undocumented community.
It has to
be shared responsibility. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I do believe that's a viable solution. I call it a just integration solution to the immigration crisis. The problem is the politicians on Capitol Hill. They don't want to see that. They're playing political football. The Democrats believe that this is a natural voting constituency.
That's
the
right.
Republicans think that if the Democrats, if a Democratic president would sign a law that provides this sort of immigration solution, that they're locked in, the community's locked in to vote Democrat for years. So both political parties, you know, are suffering of myopia. They don't understand. They really don't.
They care more about the party than they do people, which means they're as far from the heart of God as you can get on planet Earth. We have got to care about the people. Doesn't mean we compromise laws, don't compromise our principles, but we need to line up and focus on getting it right, which means both parties have got to get at the table of reason and sit down and have a civil conversation and work through it. And it means everybody knows how to pray, has got to pray they'll do it, and those of you who know how to vote, we're going to insist that we get it corrected.
Forget the politics. My number one, you know, moral drive that guides me, my optics, the Church of Jesus Christ, the work of Christ.
I agree with that.
With that being said, without this Hispanic community, if we were to deport, by the way, 8 to 10 million people, many of the Southern Baptist Assembly of God, Church of God, Foursquare churches, many of these Spanish churches will lose 30, 40, 50% of their constituents, their Hispanic churches. This is significant. It will egregiously impact the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ in America. We may very well be deporting the salvation of American evangelicalism.
We may be deporting the people who could help bring in the necessary great awakening will right our ship of state.
I am convinced, you could call me presumptuous, I don't have a messianic complex, but I am convinced that this American Christian, Hispanic American Christian community will usher in a new awakening in the 21st century. I believe the next great awakening won't have names as Edwards or Whitfield or Spurgeon or Moody, but it will have Rivera and Sanchez and Padilla and Martinez.
That's all right. To God be the glory. I just want to see it awake.
We're about to see that.
I think what I hear you saying is that as Christians, we've got to quit being passive and saying, oh, this will work all out and leave it to someone else. We as Christians need to become active.
But yeah, I wake up in the morning. I don't see myself as a Hispanic person. Mm-hmm. I'm a fourth generation American and proud to be so. My cousin died in Iraq. My uncle died in the fields of Korea. So I bleed red, white, and blue. But the first, my number one descriptive moniker when I wake up in the morning is not that I'm an American or Hispanic or black, brown, or yellow. I am a born-again child of God.
Yes.
Those are the lenses that guide my daily living. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and my Christian worldview drives me. We need to wake up in the morning as Christians and say, what am I first and foremost? I am a Christian, and those Christian lenses should guide us to treat others with righteousness and with compassion. We need to reach out. We need to bring about the spirit of reconciliation, as the Apostle Paul would say, and activate the balm of Gilead, even in our day and age. We need to do this. Our nation is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes.
We need everyone on board, and we are alienating the very community that is committed to Christ, to faith and family and country. We're alienating them. We're casting them to the side.
Stop it.
I mean, we are the Samaritans in the 21st century. We are the Samaritans. But it was the Samaritan who looked at that person left behind on the road, that good Samaritan, and brought about restoration and renewal.
That's right.
Amen. And, you know, we've got to stop trying to think, how can we somehow recruit them into our Democratic or Republican Party for our own purposes, and say, God, how can we be a healing factor to allow you to heal the land?
Yes.
Sammy, do you appreciate Sammy Rodriguez and the message he just delivered us? Sammy, I want to talk to you in another program this week. I want us to talk about what it is about the Hispanic community that makes them unique when it comes to God and family, when it comes to faith. You know, the book Indivisible talks about restoring faith, family, and freedom, and the Hispanic community understands faith and family.
Yes.
And I believe they understand freedom, and that's why they have the longing to be here.
Absolutely.
Where they can get the benefits of freedom, not just being free as an individual, but even our free market economy, where we're able to be productive in the fertile fields of opportunity. We're going to talk about that a little more this week. Sammy, one of the things we're doing right now, and I know you're familiar with how we try to feed the hungry and
Absolutely.
Drill freshwater wells, some of the most beautiful places that we have drilled the wells that have seen the greatest productivity is in Central America and Latin American countries. It's a fantastic thing. But all over the world we do that. But here's something we're doing right now. And this is very touching. You referenced a while ago how girls are brought in here and then they're
yes,
raped.
They are.
Some of them are taken into sex trafficking themselves. It happens all the time. Here is what we are doing right now, and we're doing it because of you. Not only because of the missionary workers who have found the problem and have found the solution, but you see, you are the enablers for the missionaries. You make it possible for them, as I've said many times, to go where they're not empty-handed, because all of them have a full heart. It's just that they don't have the ability to do anything unless you become the enabler. And you've got the love of God in your heart. That's why you're concerned about what we're talking about. I want you to watch this. I want you to listen with your heart. And then you become the answer to this need, because you really are the answer. Don't turn away when you are the answer. You're the Good Samaritan in this situation. Watch.
Saru, a mother of four daughters, has experienced the unimaginable, having a child kidnapped and trapped by a sex slave trader. Geeta, her oldest daughter, was taken from her home by a human trafficker, drugged, tortured, raped, and forced into sex slavery against her will. But by the grace of God, she eventually escaped during a police raid and was able to make her way back home. The horror of what happened to Geeta weighs on Saru's mind constantly. When will they come again? Who will be the next child I lose to these monsters? The only bright spot left in Saru's life are her children and grandchildren. And out of desperation, Saru has asked a most courageous question. Will you please take my children and grandchildren and put them in a safe place?
Well, that's just hard to imagine. Will you take my children and my grandchildren? Now, wait a minute. Will you take my children so that they're not vulnerable, so that they're not trafficked and used? Suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not. Jesus, would you please provide the loving arms, the helping hands, the home, to be an answer to that very sincere request. With your help, we're going to build a life center in Nepal, an impoverished area where children are taken and literally made to be sex slaves. We want to build a beautiful life center. The missionaries have confirmed, and we know it's so, an average of $128 to rescue a child or a woman from the sex trade. Would you make that gift today? Would you go to the phone, take your bank card, and make that gift, knowing that it's going to be doubled? You help rescue one. You make a gift of $128. Think about it. And you've got two. And this is the last week for Rescue Life in this emphasis. Would you help? The Life Center, I'm asking you very directly to make gifts of $1,000 or more. We're going to have $250,000. What that would do here in the States, you could probably multiply that by four or five times in its effect, because the labor is less and the necessary building material, far less expensive. But it's a big challenge. Would you make a gift to help us build that center during this last week? Father, I pray everyone watching will be an answer to that request. Take my children. Take my grandchildren. Jesus, we receive them. Would you enable the mission workers? Would you enable us to build that life center in Nepal to rescue as many as possible? We want to send you beautiful gifts to say thank you. Giselle has put women to work who were trafficked, making beautiful necklaces and learning other trades. We'll send you one of the necklaces to say thank you. You help us rescue one. We're sending Indivisible to focus your prayers and literally to give you, as one person who interviewed us said, this is body armor to win the battle we're in, literally for the soul and future of our nation. We'll send that to you to say thank you. The Lion and the Lamb bronze to say thank you for helping us build the Life Center. Would you go to the phone or go online, lifetoday.org? make the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, Betty and I want to thank you so much for your help, and I do hope that you will ask for the Lion and the Lamb bronze and really make a special gift to help us build that Life Center. And I do want to remind you about the beautiful necklaces that we can just send you one of to say thanks for rescuing someone. I also want to remind you that Sammy Rodriguez is going to be back. Now, he has over 34,000 Hispanic churches in the organization he works with. You talk about the potential to have a spiritual awakening and see it birthed in these beautiful people that have a love for our country, and we need a love for them. Would you say thanks to Sammy Rodriguez and look forward to talking to him again this week. Sammy, God bless you, buddy. Really love you. Thank all of you. Thank you for praying about the issues that matter to God and should matter to you. See you next time.
Tomorrow, facing the immigration problem.
So when we talk about deporting, we're deporting Christianity in America in the 21st century.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.